By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله viewers of Madini channel you're watching Rise and Shine and we should all be awake and fresh Alhamdulillah. Today we have a different topic again, and what we try to do is, as we said before, try to do those topics that affect us on a day-to-day basis as well. Inshallah, today we have packages as well, like we have normally day as well. Today, before we begin, inshallah, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that indeed Allah azza wa jal has appointed one angel on my grave, who has been blessed with the power of listening to the voices of the entire creation. Therefore, whoever recites Salat upon me until the day of judgment, he, I, that angel, presents me his name along with his father's name and says, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, has recited this Durood upon you. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madinah channel, if you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will hear your name and he will hear your father's name, and he will be told that this person said Durood-e Pak upon you. What a great virtue, what a great blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak. But now, inshallah, we're now going to go to the daily talawat of the day, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all make a habit of listening to or reciting the Quran on a daily basis. So let's go to the daily talawat. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم MashaAllah, again, like we keep on saying, try and make a habit of listening to the Quran on a daily basis. The topic that we have today is the topic of modesty and the ill use of social media. Now, what is modesty? If we use the proper Arabic word, the word of haya, which is what we're trying to discuss today, if it's translated to the word of modesty, then that's not a true translation, because haya signifies something much more than modesty. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Iman has more than 70 branches, and modesty is one of the branches of Iman. And regarding, you know, if we try and define modesty, Mufti Ahmadi Arkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala said that true modesty does not lie in the fact of one apparently performing virtuous deeds and acknowledging modestly only verbally. Rather, modesty means to safeguard your apparent and non-apparent organs from sins. Therefore, one shall refrain from bowing his head down in prostration to anyone else except Allah Azza wa Jal. One shall purify his mind from ostentation and arrogance. One shall safeguard his tongue, eyes and ears from saying, seeing and listening to impermissible things. This would be the protection of the head. One should protect his stomach from haram food, his private parts from fornication, and his heart from evil desires. This would be the protection of the stomach. The truth of the matter is that these blessings can be attained by the bestowment of Allah Azza wa Jal and the gracious sight of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is something much more greater than the word modesty. But we've used the word modesty today because it's the nearest translation we can have to the word haya. And there was a famous incident in the time of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that a woman, she was informed that her son had maybe been made shaheed in a battle. And she was coming out of a house to find out whether or not her son had actually been made shaheed, whether she'd lost her son or not. But before she left her house, she quickly wrapped herself up. She put the veil on. She came out the house fully covered, and she came out to inquire about the condition of her son, whether her son had survived or whether her son had been martyred in the battlefield. And she was informed that her son had been martyred in the battlefield. But someone said to her that, how is it that under these circumstances, when you found out that your son had maybe died, you still had the time and the thought to cover yourself up, to put the face covering on, and still come out? And she replied, what a beautiful reply. And this reply, you know, it will stay with us for the rest of our lives. She said that, I may have lost my son, but I have not lost my haya. Allahu Akbar. And this is, again, a beautiful example of haya. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was talking about haya, he said that if you have lost your haya, then do whatever you like. Because a person that has no shame whatsoever, no modesty whatsoever, he will not be embarrassed of anything, and he will do whatever he likes. So viewers of Madinah Channel, inshaAllah, we're now going to go to the daily kalam, and then inshaAllah we'll come back and discuss this topic. So please stay tuned with us, inshaAllah. You're watching Rise and Shine, and inshaAllah we're talking about modesty. And inshaAllah, if we get time, we'll talk about the ill usage of social media as well. So let's listen to the daily kalam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلي على نبينا صلي على نبينا صلي على محمد صلي على كريمنا صلي على كريمنا صلي Hum bhi hai سب کچھ ہے تمہاری نگاہ کرم میں سب کچھ ہے پڑے ہوئے تو سر سخاوت کی دھوم عالم میں حسن وجہ کی سخاوت کی دھوم عالم میں انہی کے تم بھی ہو ریزا خوار ہم بھی ہیں انہی کے تم بھی ہو ایک ریزا خوار ہم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madinah Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and we've had the Daily Kalam, and today we were talking about modesty. And we mentioned before the Kalam that the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that if you do not possess modesty, then do whatever you like. And Amir al-Sunnat, when he discussed this particular hadith, he said, this saying is to make us feel fear that whatever you like, you reap what you sow. And if you do bad, i.e. perform an immodest action, then you will face punishment. A noble person gave his son some advice. And the advice was as follows. Whilst committing a sin, when you feel no shame from anyone on the earth or in the sky, then consider yourself to be one of the animals. Allahu Akbar. Alama Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala said, modesty is the trait that prevents a person from committing evil deeds, due to the iman of his faith. Views of Mother Channel, there are several people who commit sins and they don't feel embarrassed. They don't feel ashamed. However, those who do not commit, do not feel ashamed, then they will do all sorts of sins and they will not consider that they're considering any sins whatsoever. So again, this modesty, this haya is a trait that if we can develop inside ourselves, then this modesty, this haya will inshallah keep us away from committing any sorts of sins. Because, you know, the opposite of haya is shame. You know, the opposite of modesty, you would say, is having no shame. And so, if you have no shame, you will commit whatever sins you wish. You're not embarrassed, you're not ashamed of missing your salah. You're not ashamed of not fasting during the month of Ramadan. You're not ashamed of doing all these things. And so, you will commit whatever sins you have. So this being ashamed, being aware that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you, is a trait that we need to develop inside ourselves. And with regards to the haya, the modesty that we take on, that, you know, the covering of ourselves and these sort of things, I want to give you a beautiful story relating to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. One day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in his house. Yeah, he was sitting in his house and the kameez that he had slightly come up. Yeah, had slightly come up. You know, when you're sitting down in a sitting down position, your clothes and you're constantly doing this to sort your clothes out because they're not always in the right position. And he was sitting down and his kameez had come up slightly, but he still had a taiban then. His kameez had come up slightly. Yeah. And there was a knock at the door and a salam was given. And it was inquired as who it was at the door. And it was Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him in. And he came in and he sat down with him. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in the same position. Then there was another inquiry at the door, and it was Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, let him in, please come in. Then a third person requested permission to come in, and it was Sayyidina Hazrat Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that it was Sayyidina Hazrat Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he quickly stood up, straightened his clothes, and sat down and then said, yes, now let him in. So the three companions were sitting with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after a short while when they departed, Ummul Mu'mineen, she said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the reason when my honorable father came in, you remained in the same position? When Sayyidina Farooq Azam came in, you remained in the same position. But when Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu came in, you got up, straightened your clothes, and then allowed him to come in. Allahu Akbar. Replying to this question, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam gave a beautiful reply. Allahu Akbar. Hi, hi. Shall I not observe modesty from the one whom even the angels observe modesty from? Allahu Akbar. This is the haya of Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And every Friday in the Jummah khutbah, we mention his name and his trait, the quality that he has. Viewers of Madinah, think to yourself, who around the world, anywhere around the world, who is it that remembers this beautiful trait and an individual other than the religion of Islam, that we remember the trait of this individual? Why? Because of his haya. Why? Because of his modesty. Viewers of Mother Channel, inshallah, now we have the daily reminder of the day, inshallah. So we're going to go to the daily reminder, inshallah, but stay tuned, inshallah, and we'll continue talking about modesty as well. So let's have the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My sweet Islamic brothers, the problem is when we are children, our role models are our parents. When we are children, we look up to our parents. When we are children, All our world is our parents, but when we grow up, we are no longer with our parents. The mother who looked after us when we were a child, she didn't have to feed us. She didn't have to clothe us. But she did. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla put it into her heart that this is your child and you need to look after your child. My sweet Islamic brothers and viewers of Mandi Channel, the mother who did not eat herself and fed us as a child, the mother who did not clothe herself but yet bought us new clothes, the mother who did not even buy new Eid clothes for herself but made sure that her child had new Eid clothes, the mother that as we were growing up made sure that we had the best of everything, yet she wore ripped clothes that were sewn again. The mother that really looked after us when we would fall. The mother would pick us up, clean our hands. If we had a cut, clean our cut. And maybe even sometimes have tears in her eyes that my child has been hurt. The mother that looked after us when we were about 7, 8. The mother, when we said to our mothers that, mother, please, I want this. All my friends have got one. She made sure that we got that. The mother that looked after us and she saw us grow up. And each time we would repeat something, she had the patience of listening. But the child, when he grew up, the mother is expecting that child to love her and give her affection. Yet the child says, no, I have not got time for you. I have got time for my friends. The child grows up and says, you are boring me. I need to go to a place to get my satisfaction. My sweet Islamic brothers, the child, when he grows up into a man and gets married, he says, you are a burden upon me. My sweet Islamic brothers, what we have to look at is our parents. Are they really a burden upon us? No. They are a blessing for us. When a mother or a father lifts up their hand and they do dua, it is accepted. My sweet Islamic brothers, love your parents with all your heart. They are only here for a short period of time. You can have two brothers, two sisters, two aunties, two uncles, two grandmothers, two grandfathers. But you can even have two houses, two cars. You can have everything, double, triple, quadruple. But you will only ever have one mother and father. Respect your parents. It is very, very vital. If they give you dua, then Allah will accept that dua. If they give you badua, then Allah will accept that. What do you want? Love your parents wholeheartedly, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will be successful. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Views of Mother Channel, we were talking about haya, modesty, and inshallah we're going to talk about a little bit about social media later on as well. But with regards to modesty, we mentioned the haya of Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and his haya, and how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say that he had, you know, that even the angels had haya in front of him. In front of him, the haya there. Now think to yourself, viewers of Madinah, if the companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that haya, then what would be the haya of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? The renowned companion Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala stated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam would observe more modesty than even an unmarried girl who observes modesty in parda. You know, there is a time that just before, in the Asian cultures or in a lot of cultures, that just before the child is about to get married, she's made to sit in one corner of that house. And in Urdu, in the language of Urdu, this is called the Mayu. The Mayu is this time where the child, the bride will sit inside the house, she'll sit in one corner. And at that time, that girl is expected to be extremely shy and quiet and reserved and keep herself covered and spend that time. And the example that we have given is that the modesty of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even greater than an unmarried girl that is just about to get married, the state that she is in at that time. That was the modesty of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what, how should we live our life? If we look at ourselves, are we modest? Do we have haya? Do we talk to people openly? Do we look at things openly? Do we, you know, I'm talking now to, especially to those brothers that are watching now, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was completely covered in that example that I mentioned, but just his kameez came up a little bit and his thigh bone was still covering him. Yet even then, you know, he covered himself more than, covered himself doubly. You know, there's a Amir al-Sunnah, he says to us, parda me parda, meaning you are covered, but cover that cover. Yeah. And this is that haya that we need to develop, that we need to cover ourselves, but cover what we are covering. So have a double covering. And why do we have double covering? So have that protection that makes sure that the double covering. So if one thing was to move, then you still are covered. But today we don't see that. Today we are seeing that our brothers are wearing tight-fitting clothes. Today we are seeing clothes that our brothers are wearing, clothes that expose the knees, that expose the navel. You know, yes, there is a fard covering for the brothers as well. A lot of people that are watching, yes, we know that the sisters have to cover themselves, but the brothers, it's okay for the brothers, we can do it. No, the brothers have to cover themselves as well. The brothers covering, minimum covering is from the knee to the navel, and that must be covered. And that area must not be exposed at any time. So you may be wearing something that covers the navel to the knee, but then when you are walking, whatever covering you have comes up, or whether you are running, it comes up, or whatever exercise you're doing, it comes up. Then that is now haram. You need to cover all of this. So all you brothers who perform any sorts of sports, be aware of this, that you need to ensure that this part of your body is covered. And this again is further upon us. But again, even then, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come where people will be covered, but they will be naked as well. And that infers nowadays where people are wearing tight-fitting clothing that expose the shape of the body. And it's the same for the sisters as well. You may be covered, but if you're exposing your shape, if you know the shape of the body is exposed, then that is haram as well. So we need to be very, very careful about that haya and that modesty and develop that inside ourselves. And when you develop that inside yourself, that haya, that modesty, that Ya Allah, I'm doing it for your pleasure. That whatever I'm doing for your pleasure. But there's a problem nowadays. And this is a problem mainly the sisters are facing. That when the sisters cover themselves, when the sisters have the abaya on them, when they have the face veil on them, then people will think that they are backward. Yeah, you're old times, you're old school, you are. Yeah, move with the times. You need to move with the times. Nowadays, you don't have to have the parda of your body, you just need to have the parda of your heart. That's all you need to cover yourself. And people say this, oh, yeah, I'll just have the parda of the heart, dil ka parda, yeah? You need to cover the heart, Allahu Akbar. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat was asked the question that there should only be, someone said to him that there should only be the veil of the heart, there should only be the parda of the heart, Allahu Akbar. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, he replied, this is a great and extremely evil trap of shaitan. Moreover, he went on to say that this phrase denies those ayahs that command one from covering the apparent body. For example, it is stated in part 22, Surah Al-Azab, ayat number 33, and stay in your homes and do not remain unveiled like the former unveiling at the times of ignorance. Allahu Akbar. In Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, volume 8, page 21, it states here, and I'm going to read this out, viewers of Madhi Channel, for you. The way the women of pre-Islamic era of ignorance used to remain unveiled, you should not observe unveiling like that. Mufassireen have different opinions in regards to the errors of former and latter Jahiliyyah. One of the opinions is that the era of former Jahiliyyah refers to the period before Islam. During that time, Islam would go out strutting and revealing the adornment and beauty so that men could gaze at them. They would wear such clothes that would not cover their body parts. Furthermore, the area of Latajaliya refers to the last area in which the affairs of the people will likely be those of the former people. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That at that time, you know, when people say to you that, you know, you're backward, you're old still, you're behind the times, you're ignorant. Even people will say to you, you're ignorant, that you're covering yourself. Allahu Akbar. Ignorant are those who do not cover themselves. The times of ignorance was that time where people did not cover themselves. The times of ignorance was that time where people would expose their beauty. The time of ignorance was when people would come out and show their beauty to everybody so that everybody could look at them. But the times that we are in now, are they not times of ignorance as well? And so is this not the latter Jahiliya times that we have come? So those people that are now walking out and exposing themselves, covering themselves, but still being exposed, they are following the times of Jahiliya. And the ones that are covering themselves, observing parda, having this haya inside themselves, they are following the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are fulfilling those actions which please Allah azza wa jal. And they are the times, they are following the times of Islam. And the times of Islam, viewers of Madri Channel, last forever. They are not the times of ignorance. They are not the times of Jahiliya. They are the times of Islam. And Islam is for us from now until the day of judgment. So Mubarak to those brothers and sisters that have haya and do try to cover themselves as well. And inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but we have the daily hadith as well. And these reminders and daily hadith are there for us to ponder about. And inshallah, let's see what daily hadith we have today. So let's go to the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, welcome to today's segment of hadith. In today's hadith, inshallah, we'll be listening regarding having hatred and jealousy towards other fellow Muslims. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that the deeds of people are submitted to Allah twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays, and every believer is forgiven except those who have hatred between one another in regards to worldly matters, and it is said to them that leave them till they have given up and reconcile. So from this hadith, my dear viewers, you can understand that the deeds are presented, and every Monday and Thursday these deeds are presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people that have discord, that have hatred to people who are enemies of one another, and they have hatred towards one another, they are left to reconcile. From this we can understand how important it is not to break ties with one another. Islam came to mend the ties, to join the ties together, to bring people together, to bring unity together. And Islam came to abolish and destroy the disunity that we have. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, we see many people who within their own family, husband and wife, they are jealous of each other, they have hatred amongst each other, brothers and sisters, they have jealousy. Especially when the kids are involved, then it increases even more. This jealousy increases even more. That my child is doing this, what's your child doing? And they end up taunting one another regarding their own family. So we need to understand that Islam is a peaceful religion, and Islam came to teach us peace as well. And having love and affection towards our own family members, especially towards our parents, this is a very important matter in terms of deen. And it's not taken very lightly. It's severe punishments and severe warnings for those people who cause disunity in the family, that cause hatred amongst brothers and sisters, that cause hatred between the children and the parents. And Islam teaches us to respect one another. Allah has ordered us to join the relations. Even in the Holy Quran, Allah has commanded us that join the ties, bring people together. And Islam teaches that we bring people together, especially towards our parents. This discord that children unfortunately have towards their parents in today's day and age is a means of a great evilness amongst our community. And the reason why in today's day and age when people complain that my child doesn't listen to me, this is not happening, there's so many issues with the youngsters. So we need to understand that the work starts from home. The problem starts normally from the home. If we have a good environment in the home, a Madani environment in the home where there's Islamic teachings are being taught at home, there's an Islamic lifestyle that is being taught to the children, then inshallah these problems that we see amongst the community, amongst the youngsters, they will start to decrease and they'll start to finish inshallah. So try to, if you are going through any discord with one another, try to relieve yourself from this discord and forgive one another. Islam teaches us to forgive and to move on. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. Today, viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about Haya. And inshallah, later on a little bit, we'll talk about the social media and the internet as well and how we need to protect ourselves in that as well. But regarding Haya and modesty, I mean, we heard early on that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you have lost your Haya, then you can do whatever you wish. And again, that is something that we need to ponder on. And it's one hadith that if we keep in the forefront of our mind all the time, that if we have lost our Haya, then we will do whatever we like. And in another place, we were told that, you know, a pious person said that if you commit these sins and you have no shame, then consider yourself to be amongst the animals of the planet. So, viewers of the channel, in our life, we have effectively three periods in our life. We effectively have childhood, one period of our life. We have our youth, and then we have our old age. When a person is a child, when he's in our balik, when he's that innocent age, then he will not be committing any sins. And if he does commit apparent sin, then inshallah, azawajal, he will be forgiven. When a person gets old, he starts to get weak. Illnesses start to appear inside himself. And because he's getting closer and closer to that time where inside himself, he's thinking to himself that, you know what, I'm getting close to that time where I, you know, will be passing away. So I need to sort myself out and I need to, you know, have this God consciousness inside myself. I need to start rectifying myself. And this is a lot of people, unfortunately, not all people, even some people that even when they get old, they still think that they're going to live forever and they continue committing sins as if they are going to live forever, but they're not. Obviously, nobody lives forever. But a lot of people, alhamdulillah, what happens is that at that time in their life is the time that they turn towards the masjid. It's that time in their life that they start to read the Quran. It's that time in their life that they start to do zikr and wazayf, etc. But that period in between childhood and old age, that period of youth, that is a very crucial period. Because in that period, when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. You think, I've got all my life ahead of me. I can do whatever I want. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I've got money. I've got resources. I can do whatever I want. And you're not fearful of death. And when you're not fearful of death, and this again is a trait that we need to have that fear of death, to fear of accountability, to fear that we're going to be questioned. If you do not have that fear, then what happens is you start becoming, I'll use the word brave. You start becoming brave in that you think, oh, I can commit whatever sins I want. Why? Because I've got all my life. I've got nothing to worry about. Viewers of Madani Channel, even just recently, a couple of days ago, in a town not very far from us, two young brothers, they passed away. Both of them were, I think one was in his 30s and one was in his 20s. The one that was in his 30s, he had a motorcycle accident. The brother that was in his 20s, he got up for Sahri. He had the Sahri meal. He read Salatul Fajr and he went to sleep and then he didn't wake up. And I think he was only, 27 years of age? So viewers of Madani Channel, don't be deceived by the fact that, you know, in that age that you are in, you're going to live forever. Nobody lives forever. And nobody knows at what age they are going to pass away. And, you know, if we look around us, then people do pass away at all ages. You know, if you go to the graveyards and look at the ages, people write the names of the people that they were born this time and they died this time. And you will see that, yes, they have the 80-year-olds, the 70-year-olds, the 60-year-olds, but also there's the 20-year-olds, there's the 30-year-olds. Yes, maybe they are in less in number, but people do die, you know. And if there is going to be one 20-year-old that's going to die, How do you know that 20-year-old's not going to be you? You know, if someone was to, there's a room in here, the room is full of 20-year-olds, and somebody comes in with one bullet and he's going to shoot it, would you not be scared? Would you not be scared that that bullet could hit me? Yes, there's 30 other people in the room. There's a chance in 1 in 30, let's say. But would you not be scared? Yes, you would be scared. In the same way, the angel of death can come to us anytime. And so this crucial period of our life, our youth, is a time that we need to protect ourselves. It's a time where you try to accumulate as much wealth as you can. But at the same time, this is a time where you have that strength inside you that you can accumulate as many good deeds as you can. I remember my blessed father, when he went and performed the Hajj, I think he was in maybe his 60s. He was just over 60. And when my father came back, one of the first words he said to me was, "Beta, do the Hajj as soon as possible. Do it in your youth. Don't wait until you get old like me. If you're going to perform the Hajj, then do it in your youth, because then you'll have the strength to be able to do it. You know, so don't wait until you get old before you go and perform the Hajj. Don't wait until you get old and you've got time on your hands. And so, you know what, now I've got plenty of time on my hands, I'll join them Dawud Islami brothers and I'll travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla." No, whilst you are young, whilst you are strong, that is when you need to protect your iman, because it is at that time, it is at that time that shaitan will entice you as much as possible. It is at that time in your life where shaitan will be literally on every street corner trying to take your iman away from you. There's a beautiful incident that happened in the time of Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa at the time. There was a very pious person and he used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and abundantly. And Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he was impressed by this person, that he was such a pious person. They used to see him. He used to come to the masjid and he'd read his namaz with full concentration and take his time. And Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was very, very impressed with him. But every day that he would go to the masjid, there would be a woman on the route that would try invite him, try and call him towards him. But every day he would walk past this woman, he would pay no attention to her. But one day, the whispers of shaitan, and the whispers, you see, the whispers of shaitan, they don't finish. They don't say, "Okay, I've tried him once, I've tried him twice, I've tried him 3 months, okay, he's not listening to my whispers, I'll give up and I'll move on." No, this will continue. This will continue. And one day what happened was, eventually the shaitanic whispers, he listened to them. And he went towards this woman. And as soon as he went towards this woman, he approached this woman. And as he got close to her, he remembered the ayat of the Quran, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Indeed, those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever a temptation from the devil touches them, they become alert. And at that very moment, the eyes open up." Allahu Akbar. As soon as he heard this ayat, he trembled in fear and he collapsed. He collapsed on the ground and he was unconscious. Now his father was waiting for him at home. And after the expected time, with the time that he'd expected normally, he would go read his namaz, he'd come back. After that time had elapsed and did not come, his father got worried and wanted to find out where he was. And they went out and found him, that he was on the ground and he'd collapsed. He was unconscious. So with a group of people, they gathered him and brought him home. And when they brought him home, they waited for him to remain conscious. And when he regained consciousness, he spoke to them to explain the situation. And when he explained the situation of exactly what had happened, and when he recalled the ayat again the second time, and he recited the ayat, he screamed. He screamed and he let out a huge breath and he passed away. He passed away in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It is said that the arrangements for ghusl were made that same night. And in the morning, when Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was made aware of this, he went to his father to console him. And he said to him that, "Why did you not inform me that he had passed away?" And they said that, you know, "You were resting and we didn't feel it appropriate to do so." And so Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said, "Take me to his grave." And after reaching the grave of this young pious worshipper that had passed away under these conditions, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he recalled the ayat of the Quran and he recited it. And the translation was there. The translation is that, "And for the one who fears standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, there are two paradises. And the one who fears standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, there are two paradises. Upon hearing this, the young man loudly proclaimed from the grave, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed, my Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed me with two jannats, two paradises. Allahu Akbar. This is by virtue of the fact that this individual had remained steadfast in his youth. He remained steadfast in his youth and he protected his iman. And again, that's something that in your youth you need to be very, very wary of. Because that youth time is that time where, you know, you leave the house more. You know, when you get old, you got to that retirement age, you're not leaving the house as much. You're staying at home as much. You've got illnesses, you've got other responsibilities in the home. You're not leaving your home as much. But when you're young, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. And what happens is because you're here, there and everywhere, the chances of committing sins are more. Like at the moment, for example, we're in this situation where we are in effective lockdown and we are in our homes. And what is happening when we are in our homes? I remember Nigrani Shura saying with regards to this, that in this period of time, we are better off in one way, but we are worse off in another. And when I asked him why, he said that we are better off because we're not outside. We're not going to those places where sins are being committed. We're not being enticed, but we're in our homes and we still have this. We still have this. And this is what's causing us to commit more sins in our homes as well. And a beautiful question that asked that, you know, how can we remain modest whilst we are using social media? The same question can be posed that how can you remain modest whilst watching TV other than Madani Channel? How can you remain modest at home? How can you remain modest by going to work? How can you remain modest by doing your day-to-day activities? You know, it's having that fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside your heart. And I remember Emil Sunnat a couple of years ago, and stickers were made, and we made a habit of sticking up all around. And in my office, I have a sticker there and the sticker says, Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. And I think if we develop this mindset that Allah is watching us, you know, when we're on social media and we're scrolling up and down, and then what happens is, or on your internet explorers and you're looking at pages, and what happens is, periodically, what people think, a little bit of fear comes inside themselves. I think, you know what? What happens if someone in my house finds out what I've been doing? You know, what if they realize what pages I've been on? What if they realize what web pages I've been on? So what we do is we delete our history. We delete our pages history that we viewed. We delete the history on our Internet Explorer, that all those pages that we've deleted. But what you need to be aware of, that yes, your family members will not see the web pages because you've deleted that history. Your family members, your wife, your husband will not see the pages that you've been watching on your phone. But do you not think? You know, they say that the authorities record what you're watching. People say this. Allah alim if it's true or not. People say that they record the pages that you're watching. But your pages, do you not think that Allah Azza wa Jal knows the pages that you've done? Does Allah Azza wa Jal not know what you have done? You know, they say that you can... People say, oh, you know, that people think that if I switch the light off, nobody will see what I'm doing. Yeah. If I put the blanket over my head and I'm on my phones, nobody will see what I'm doing. If I close the door, then nobody will hear what I'm saying. If I go to a different town, a different place, I can do what I want. Why? Because nobody knows that I'm there. Yeah, nobody knows me there. So they won't expose the sins that I'm doing. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, how foolish we are. Does Allah Azza wa Jal not hear you when you've got the blanket on top of you? Does he not see what you're looking at when you have that blanket on top of you? Can he not hear you when you close the door? Can he not see you when you go to a different town? We need to develop that mindset, viewers of Money Channel, not only on social media, but throughout our whole lives, that whatever we are doing, Allah is watching us. And you know, there's a little bit of a problem here, and maybe the brother, he will agree with me or not. Here in the West, we've become immune, and we do not realize the sins that we are committing. You know, when somebody comes from abroad for the first time that comes to this country, let's say he comes from Pakistan, or he comes from India for the first time. You pick him up from the airport. He's in the car. You're driving home. And every 10 seconds, 15 seconds, he's going, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And you look at him thinking, eh? What's up with him? Why is he saying this? Yeah. And all the way home, maybe every half a minute or a minute, he's going, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And slowly, 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 his head's going down. And what is happening is, brother, is that he is seeing things that he's never seen before. He's seeing them billboards with half-naked women. He's seeing those women walking around half-naked. And for him, it is a shock to the system, and he is aware of the fact that looking at these things is a sin. And so he's constantly saying astaghfirullah, and he's constantly lowering our gaze. But what are we doing? We're not bothered. Why have we become immune to this? And somebody once gave me a beautiful example. He said to me that if you were to get two pans of water, you used to get a cold pan of water and a hot pan of water. A pan of water with boiling water in it. And you were to put a frog inside the boiling pan. Yeah? What would happen is as soon as you put that frog inside that boiling hot water, the frog would jump out. Because the water is going to burn him. The water, that boiling water, is scalding him and it's going to kill him. Another pan of water, cold water. You put the frog in it. The frog's comfortable. You put it under the heat and you put a slow heat, slowly heat. What will happen is slowly, that water will get warmer and warmer and warmer. And what will happen is that frog will die. And the example that this person gave me, he says, that person that comes from abroad to these countries the first time is like that frog that we throw into that hot water. He panics and he jumps out, right? And he's saying, astaghfirullah. But we are this person. We are this person that we don't even realize what's going on. We don't even realize the sins that we're committing. We don't even realize that the water is getting hotter and hotter around us. And ultimately we are dying, spiritually dying, because we are seeing these sins and we don't even realize it. How many of us now look at a billboard and say, astaghfirullah? How many of us try and lower our gaze when we're coming close to billboards? How many of us try and lower our gaze when we are walking? How many of us try and protect our eyes? How many of us try and protect our haya? Why? Because we become immune. We don't even realize that we're committing these sins. We don't even realize what we are doing, viewers of Madhi Channel. And we need to learn to try and protect ourselves. Who is Imam Hassan? Imam Hassan is one of the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he's the grandson, and we all remember him with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, that they were the two beautiful grandsons that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to carry. They are those beautiful grandsons that they used to carry on his shoulders as well and walk with him as well. And these are the people that were examples of us. The way they lived their lives, the modesty that they lived, the haya that they have, the love for the sunnah that they had, the love for the Rasul that they have. This is the examples that we need to have. And we keep on saying this, viewers of Madhi Channel, that when we mention these people, we're not just mentioning that because they are, because viewers of Madhi Channel, they are our rich heritage. They are our rich history that we need to learn from them and learn about their lives, how they lived their lives, so that we can have an example from them. So now, inshallah, we're going to listen to a munkabat, insha'Allah, with regards to the great Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Hassan ibn Ali,
Ya Hassan ibn Ali,
Ya Hassan ibn Ali,
Ya Hassan ibn Ali,
Ya Hassan ibn Ali, Ya Hassan ibn Ali,
Raqib-e-Dosh-e-Shahanshah-e Umam, Ya Hassan ibn Ali, kar do karam, Raqib-e-Dosh-e-Shahanshah-e Umam. Ya Hasan ibn Ali kar do karam
Fatima ke lal Haider ke pisar Fatima ke lal Haider ke pisar Apni ulfat do mujhe do apna gham Apni ulfat do mujhe do apna gham
Raqib e do shahanshah e umam
ibn Ali
Ya Hasan ibn Ali kar do karam
ibn
Ali Raqib e do shahanshah e umam Ya Hasan ibn Ali kar do karam
اے سخی ابن سخی اپنی سخا 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 سے دو حصہ سید آلِ ہاشم سے دو حصہ سید آلِ ہاشم
راقب دوش شہنشاہ امم
ابن علی
یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم
ابن
راقب دوش شہنشاہ امم
یا
یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم
آل و اصحاب نبی سے پیار ہے آل و اصحاب نبی سے پیار ہے ساری سرکاروں کے در پر سر ہے خم ساری سرکاروں کے در پر سر ہے خم
راکی بے دوش شہنشاہ امم
ابن علی
یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم
راکی
بے دوش شہنشاہ امم یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم
اے شہید کربلا کے بھائی جان اے شہید کربلا کے بھائی جان دور ہو عطار کے رنج و الم دور ہو عطار کے رنج و الم
راکی بے دوش شہنشاہ امم یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم راکی بے دوش شہنشاہ امم
ابن علی
یا حسن ابن علی کر دو کرم
ابن علی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ویوز مدنی چینل یو واچنگ Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about modesty, haya. I mean, inshallah, as we did, we're now going to talk a little bit about the social media and the use or the ill use of social media and how it connects with our topic of modesty as well. Alhamdulillah, we have a special guest today with us from his home, mashallah. We have Dr. Zirika, you all know, who comes on Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, literally daily, alhamdulillah. Dr. Saab, can you hear me?
جی الحمدللہ رب العالمین
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ
ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ ہاؤ ار یو ڈاکٹر صاحب
الحمدللہ رب العالمین علی کل حال ہاؤ ار یو خالد
الحمدللہ علی کل حال بیٹر ناؤ دیٹ آئی کین سی یو الحمدللہ آئی کین سی یو ان دی سکرین ان فرنٹ آف می الحمدللہ May Allah Azza wa Jal preserve this beautiful smile that you have on your face, Dr. Saab. May Allah Azza wa Jal always keep you happy. What we are talking about today is, we're talking about modesty, haya. And you know, the question was posed earlier on, and I did answer it, but you can, inshallah, include it in the discussion as well. That he said that, can you give us some tips to preserve our haya on social media as well? And I replied that, obviously, haya is not just about social media. In the same way that we need to preserve our haya everywhere, then we need to preserve our haya on social media as well. And we've not really discussed social media as well, Dr. Saab, but from your perspective, from a medical perspective, if you can talk a little bit about haya and talk about a little bit of the psychological effects of social media or any other form of internet usage, etc., inshallah, azza wa jal.
Social media, how does it fit in with this sort of theory? I will link social media as like the knife in the hands of a surgeon, so a scalpel or blade in the hands of a surgeon. So if you ask someone to operate on someone's abdomen with the knife, now clearly you would require a lot of experience and practice. So it's like social media, if we give it to the hands of a child, then clearly they do not have the skills and the resources to understand its complexities, intricacies, and they are going to follow their desires and aggressions, and they will use the social media in a manner that will be extremely dangerous to themselves and to other people as well. Now we can look in terms of household examples that we don't give knife to a child when they are of 8-9 years of age, when we want them to use, but we supervise them, we are with them all the time to teach them how to use the knife and so forth. We equip them with the skills, we tell them that they shouldn't keep their knife close to the hand, they should be focused on using the knife, and they should be concentrated and not be distracted. So these are some of the strategies and the techniques that we tell a child how to use a knife. Now, clearly, in this day and age, 80 to 90% of the social media users are those who are of teenage years. And that's the biggest proportion who uses the social media. Now, clearly, as I said, that up until the teenage years, your main personality is id. You just follow your desires and you just follow your aggression. And clearly, in the hands of those inexperienced individuals, social media is can be very harmful. Just like an inexperienced person doing surgery on someone's abdomen and ending up cutting the aorta, which is the main blood vessel, because they don't know what it is and they cannot identify the harmful effects of using a blade in that particular place. So now, although I'm using the example of teenagers or children, but that was just to explain. Let's move forward. As I said, that even adults, they have their id part with them. That's desires. They can never be completely suppressed. Us adults, when we are sitting on our own and the mobile phone and the social media is in our hands, now clearly, although now we have a reality perspective as well with us, so to an extent we can control our desires, but not fully. So when we are sitting on our own, that's the time when our desires and our aggression will overpower us at that particular time. And we may end up doing the harmful use of the social media. Now, what we need is that everyone, whether it's a child, an adult, or an old age person, we need our superego. So what I would refer superego here is with the beautiful teachings of Islam, where Islam teaches us to actually put restraints on our desires. And Islam asks us to analyze our actions before we execute them and analyze our actions in the line of the teachings of the Sharia. Now, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has very clearly written about this in his Ihya ul-Ulum, that the best aspect of the knowledge is that you are able to judge your sayings, your actions, and your practices according to the teachings of Islam. So the scale against which you weigh your sayings, your teachings, and your actions is the beautiful teachings of Islam. So the answer to that question that was asked is how we can make a best use of social media is by having a complete or near complete understanding of beautiful teachings of Islam. And super ego is like modesty as well. So we got to develop that.
So Dr. Saab, you mentioned there about developing this ability. How can we develop it? It's easy, you know, you're saying here, develop it. How?
Now, clearly, let me carry on with the example of like a doctor or when you're not a doctor. So you will do your GCSEs and A-levels, you will work hard, you will study the books, and you will go to the school and the college and use the teachers. And then not just that, you will then go into a medical school. And even after the 5 or 6 years at medical school, you will carry on further supervision stages under the experts and the experienced doctors. So similarly, we have a model in our life as well from masjid point of view, from the madrasa point of view. So madrasa is like the school where you need to go and acquire your basic Islamic teachings. Then obviously school, college is again further fiqh knowledge. And then Jamiatul Madina is like a medical school where you acquire further experience knowledge about the teachings of Islam and the rules of obviously Islam and so forth. About every aspect of our life, and then further specialization in the sort of fiqh is like becoming an expert or specialist. Now, people will say, yeah, I mean, we can go to the madrasa and the masjid, but not everyone can do the Jamiatul Madina. So that is where obviously there are other platforms where you can be under the supervision. So this is like acquiring knowledge from Madani channel, acquiring knowledge by attending the weekly Ijtima of Dawat Islami, acquiring knowledge by traveling in the Madani kaflas of Dawat Islami. And for Islamic sisters, there are many courses that take place as well, including for children, and the knowledge is delivered in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami according to the intellect and understanding of these individuals, looking into sort of bearing in mind their age and understanding and the problems that they are facing. So this includes social issues, medical issues, and all aspects of our life. So alhamdulillah, you know, yes, it is a very hard step. It's not easy. It requires time and effort and perseverance. So without that, we will be using, obviously, there will be immodesty and harmful use of social media.
Yeah, Dr. Saab, you mentioned Jamatul Madina, you mentioned Madrasatul Madina, you mentioned Ishtamaj, you mentioned courses, you mentioned all those things, alhamdulillah, that you mentioned by going in the Madri Kaflas. But Dr. Saab, at the moment we're in lockdown, so what can we do now? What can we do in this particular period? You're saying that, yeah, but Tiga, okay, I make intention that I'll travel in a Madri Kafla, I make intention that I'll travel, go to the weekly Ishtama, I make intention that I will join Madrasa or join Jamia. But what do we do now, Dr. Saab, in the current situation? How can we, especially now, and I think you heard that Nigrani Shura said at the moment that, you know, because we are in lockdown, the situation is such that we're not committing those sins outside our homes, but we're sitting inside our homes. And because we're sitting inside our homes, we've got more time to waste, and we're wasting that time on social media. And when we're wasting that time on social media, we're committing so many more sins. So what can we do in our houses now? We're sitting at home. I've got nothing better to do than do this all day long. So what should I do now?
So where there is a will, there is a way. Himmat marda madad khuda. So inshallah azawajal, we've got plenty of teachings from Dawat Islami on this social media platform. Now clearly there is the Madani channel platform, and alhamdulillah azawajal, twice a day we are blessed with the wisdom of Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, the beautiful company of him, and clearly his words and his speeches, they have changed the hearts of millions. And if we obviously watch a Madani channel twice a day, at least Madani Muzakara, then clearly that is an amazing source of clearly a knowledge and experience-based knowledge, and that will change us. That's one platform. Clearly, you can access that via Facebook, Madani channel English or Urdu pages. Then on the Madani channel, there are programs of Nigrani Shura. There's this program like Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing these topics. In addition to that, okay, this is sort of what we call as informal method of acquiring knowledge, where questions are asked randomly. Now, there is formal method of acquiring knowledge, which is via the courses. So Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami is running number of different courses, even for here from UK in English for our English audience. So keep in touch with Brothers of Dawat Islami. The information is shared about these courses. There is also obviously online option available to study via the Madrasatul Madina. So this is the modern day lifestyle. Rather than going and attending a mosque, Dawat Islam is offering you a facility to actually join Madrasatul Madina, no matter what age you are, from the comfort of your own home via the same social media. So alhamdulillah, these number of different platforms are available that you can actually connect to them via the social media.
Jazakallah, Dr. Saab. Jazakallah for your time. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. And I hope that our viewers that have listened to you today have benefited from this. And as we constantly think,
as well, inshallah,
I pray that we all benefit from this. Please look after yourself, Dr. Saab. Look after your family. And inshallah, I'm hoping that this time goes away, that we can all meet again. And inshallah, can sit together as guests. So please remember in your du'as. But Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and that was Dr. Zirak, who, mashaAllah, you know, he's virtually daily on Madani Channel. And yes, he's a doctor. He's an official doctor, and he, in his lifestyle, he has made a change in his lifestyle where he is giving time to the deen and he's sacrificing to the deen. And when you see these personalities, these individuals that are professionals, that even the professionals are making a change in their life, and they're realizing that life is not all about being a professional. Life is not all about making these extra amounts of money and doing all these things. But these are the people that inspire us. And we need to look to these people and think to ourselves that if these people can give time to the deen, what is our excuse? When a doctor, when a barrister, when a lawyer, when an accountant, when he can give time to the deen, what is my excuse? Viewers of the Mother Channel, we need to make time. We need to make time and sacrifice time for the deen. And I pray to Allah that when this current situation is resolved, we all make an intention that we will give, at least on the recommendation of Emir al-Sunnah, that we will give at least 2 hours, just 2 hours. That's all I'm requesting, brothers and sisters, just 2 hours to the deen. If you give 2 hours every day to the deen, 2 hours out of 24, less than 10% of your life to the deen, inshaAllah azza wa jal, then Allah azza wa jal, inshaAllah azza wa jal, will reward you. Viewers of Madani Channel, every day we try to talk a little bit about the different departments of Dawat Islami. We've got a little package now of just one more of the departments of Dawah Islamiyah. Dawah Islamiyah, alhamdulillah, there are more than 107 departments now that are active, and these are spread all across the world. And inshallah, we'll now look at the department of the day. I'm not going to tell you what the department is. You can watch the package and you can see yourself. So let's see the package of the department of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Brief introduction of Khuddam al-Masajid, a department of Dawat-e-Islami.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
A masjid holds paramount importance in Islam. It is the house of Allah Almighty. It is the basic source of acquiring knowledge of the Holy Quran and Sunnah. Muslims perform individual and collective worship of Allah Almighty in it. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, while recording this, the Madani movement of the devotees of Rasul, Dawat-e-Islami, has spread its message all across the world. Moreover, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami is engaged in serving sunnahs in more than 107 departments. Khuddam al-Masajid is one of those departments. Kanzul Iman was the first masjid built after the global Madani Markaz. Thereafter, Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah, formed a majlis and named it Majlis Khuddam Al Masajid and gave them the mindset that masjid should be built in the whole world by Dawat-e-Islami. Majlis Khuddam al-Masajid performs all the matters regarding the land of the masjid, its purchase and waqf according to the shari, legal and organizational procedures. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, to date, Majlis Khuddam al-Masajid has built hundreds of masajid and constructions of further masajids are in progress. There is a ratio of two masajid being built on daily basis in the whole world. The areas or cities where masajid are needed, the responsible Islamic brothers of Khuddam al-Masajid try to purchase the property in those areas after consulting with and obtaining shari guidance from Darul Ifta Ahl Sunnat. Pictures of the masajid to be constructed by the Majlis Khuddam al-Masajid and those that are under construction are available in the form of a detailed album. It costs millions of rupees all the way from purchasing the property to the phase of constructing it and buying material for it. All these expenses are met from the donations given by the devotees of Rasul.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mindy Channel, you just saw a package there with regarding to Khudam al-Masajid. And Khudam al-Masajid is that department where we build masjids all around the world. And before I talk a little bit about that department, there was an individual that maybe you saw a few times in that package. Sayyid Luqman Bapu, he is one of the Rukni Shura, and he's responsible for the Khudam al-Masajid, this particular department. And mashallah, you know, Nigrani Shura himself has said that he was a great influence on him in coming to the Mahol, and he learned so much about him. He's one of those individuals that you don't normally see on Madri Channel very often, but mashallah, he's a very pious individual, a very sincere individual, a very hard-working individual. And just a personal experience that I had with him that I'd like to share with you. He previously had the responsibility of Madni Kafla. And what was amazing with Sayyid Luqman Bapu is that you could talk to him about any topic. You could talk to him about anything. But what he would do is he would discuss with you, but he would bring the topic around to Madni Kafla. Because that was his aim, to get you to travel on a Madni Kafla. And such a beautiful, pious brother, and I was just watching him now. But with regards to Khudam al-Masajid, the viewers of Madni Channel, that Khudam al-Masajid is the department, and you heard though that Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is making at least approximately two masjids every single day. Two new projects are taking place every single day. And if you look at here in the UK, then we're talking probably millions of pounds where new masjids are being built. And here in the UK, we are making new projects. And currently we have a project in Leeds where a purpose-built masjid is being built, and I think the project is around £2 million. It is still under construction, and obviously they are still raising funds for that. So if you wish to donate to that particular project, then please do. But at the same time, if you want to build a masjid, you know, we talk that when people pass away, that good deeds are passed on. If you want to make a masjid in the name of your deceased relative or something, then you can do it. And you don't have to spend £2 million. Then in Pakistan, in the interior areas, in Sindh, in Punjab, in Kashmir, and all these places, there are many, many places where there are still not masjids. Yes, even in Pakistan, there are many, many places where people do not have the availability of masjids. The population is expanding, new communities are opening up, new housing societies are opening up, and as the new housing societies open up, then obviously there's the need of masjids as well. So Dawud Islami has these projects where, for example, from 8 lakh rupees, which is something like from £4,000, £4,500 upwards, £5,000, £6,000, whatever you wish, you can choose a project where a masjid can be built, and it can be built on the money that you donate. And if you wish, then we can put a board there that this masjid has been built in the memory of a certain individual, inshallah azawajal. So this is just one way that we can carry on donating in this cause. And these masjids are built all over the world as well, not only in Pakistan as well. Many, many masjids are built over the world. Viewers of Madani Channel, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun